and like you get to know people a little bit more as a person and as an athlete and like what they respond to and also just like what their sense of humor is and all that, which is nice. And that's just how I like to approach things. I like to like actually get to know them, and like you get to kind of manipulate variables a little bit more in the training side of things too, because you know what they respond to and what they don't respond to, versus if you're in a big group and all that stuff, it's very hard to do. And if you're just like yelling cues here and there and all that.
The fitness movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorfitness.com.
I was like freaking out the 2 days beforehand because I'm like, what if I get sick? What if I don't wake up on time?
Yeah, there's like so many little things like that. That's how I, anytime I'm like traveling, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I hate it. Makes me nervous.
So first time on Only Sport.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day today.
Yes.
It's like 30s and raining.
Yep, 30s and raining.
I mean, it could be like 28 and snowing, which would kind of be better almost.
Yeah. It would be nicer just because I haven't seen snow in a bit.
But when was the last time you saw snow?
Actually, I did.
When you were in like the Boston area? Or?
Yes, which wasn't too long ago. It was in January, my sister's wedding. But that was the first time I saw snow in a long while. Where it's like, you know, Tucson. I think Tucson right now is like 70 and sunny.
Which is great until it's like
until it's July. 104 yeah. And like beaming hot, yes.
Yeah. It's, I feel like I want to be like one of those people when I retire where it's like I move north when it's like super cold and then,
or
opposite, move south when it's super cold, move back to the north when it's blazing hot. I don't feel like being in like the south.
Yeah, that's the thing about Tucson's like a snowbird city, right? Like everyone goes there.
There's a lot of people who go back and forth.
Yeah. A lot of retirees, or people who like retirees, people living their life, you know, and people who like telework and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like make good money and they're able to do that. And if you did it at the right time with the housing market, like not too long ago that it was this cost of living out there was so cheap.
Yeah.
Now it's like everywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. But before, I mean, when I bought my house a while back, like I got it like towards the end and like there's no way now. So, but yeah.
I could just like, I have a friend who lives in Florida and it's like, they always know when it's like, oh, all the old people are just like showing up in town. I must be getting like cold up there.
Yeah, it's like everyone drives way slower, so you'll know. So you're like, okay, all the snowbirds are in, and then the crowd, like the roads get a lot more crowded. Like it's noticeable.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you'll be like, why is this person driving 30 miles an hour in a 55? And it's like, oh, it's like some old retiree who shouldn't be driving.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've kind of talked about like your story at all, and like back then you weren't even a coach for us.
Yeah,
I was coaching you at the time, so you were an athlete of mine. But yeah, I feel like this would be a kind of a good time to get a little bit of an update on what you've been up to, your current life situation, because we got you here in person, which is pretty sweet. So you came in for athlete camp, and you're going to be leading us through session one at least, and then doing like a lunch and learn. So we'll make sure we post that to the podcast platform as well, so people can stay tuned for that. But I'm trying to remember, like, where did you say you grew up again?
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yes. So that was like, were you like born and raised there?
Born and raised, yeah.
And then what point did you move to Tucson?
I moved to Tucson after I graduated college. I got stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So that was 2017, 18-ish time frame. Yeah.
Huh. So you lived in Massachusetts the whole way up until then?
Yeah. Yeah. Massachusetts, born and raised. Went to college there, so it was all all there. Yeah.
And then this is funny. I want you to tell the story because I was talking to you this morning. I was like, so does your family call you Day or Dayanara? And you're like, well, actually.
Yeah. So my family calls me Jari, which it's spelled Y-A-R-I. And it's, I don't know if it's a like a Latino thing or just Puerto Ricans or what, but my family's from Puerto Rico, and we basically have nicknames for each other that most of the time have nothing to do with your real name. So obviously my real name is Dayanara, and but growing up, I don't remember my parents ever calling me that. And to be honest, to this day, I can't think of like a time that my mom's used my full name. And
she doesn't even matter if she's like mad at you or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Full name still doesn't come out.
Exactly. And all my siblings, we all have a nickname. And yeah, I was telling you this morning, like, I remember going in kindergarten and the teachers calling out everyone's name, and I did not respond to Dayanara because I had no idea that was my name. Like, my parents completely forgot to like prep me for school. So yeah, that was a nice little wake up call.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This is very different, but my mom always joked, my extended family always joked that I would go to school in like kindergarten and they would ask me what my name is. I said, "No, Ben," because that's all they would ever say to me is, "No, Ben." Tells me what kind of a kid I was. Yeah, I mean, what were you like as a kid?
Very quiet, which that's kind of how I am now, too. Like, I was just very quiet.
You seem more like maybe observant.
Yes, like, yeah.
I mean, I respect that a lot. Like, people, I mean, there's nothing wrong with people being super extroverted and, like, you know, super conversational or, like, outgoing for speaking, but I mean, maybe that's just the way I am, so I understand it.
Yeah. And I was a very quiet kid, didn't talk a lot. If you watch like any family videos, I'm not really talking at all. My mom used to say I never really talked. I used to be very observant. I used to just like every Saturday, my mom and her sisters would like spend time together. They would just hang out. Mm. And I remember I wouldn't go play with like all the other kids or anything like that. I would like wherever they were sitting at, which is like the kitchen table.
You're doing that full downs.
Yeah. Yeah. Practicing pull-ups and all that. I would go where they were sitting and I would just like sit with them and just kind of observe their conversation. I'm pretty sure they were fucking annoyed with me, but like, but yeah, that's how I was as a kid. And like right now, I would say that's the same right now. And you kind of see it in like my coaching style with like working with big groups or athletes or anything. Like, I know in the college world, they like coaches to be loud and, you know, kind of own the room. And I'm not very much like that, which is why I think I do better with smaller groups for that reason. Mm. Because I have a very hard time being the loud one in the room.
That's interesting. I'm 100% that way. Like, yeah, I'll yell when like the music's up and like people, like I'll let them know like 2 minutes left. Like,
yeah.
But I'm not like, let's go, like hammer it.
Right.
Like, once in a while, if somebody's like in a qualifier or something where like it's actually going to matter if they like, you know, row 50, you know, cows per hour faster at the for the last minute will make a difference. But generally, like, especially with like the gym pop that I tend to work with here at the gym, it's like I encourage them to a degree, but it's more like, I forget who said this, but they're like, it's more of like your presence, basically like them saying like, you don't cheer for us much, but yeah, you're there.
We feel you.
They know that yeah, you care about them.
Yeah.
So I do think that like that's a I like that coaching style, and maybe that's just because that's the way I am. But more like I've always been a little bit more like conversational in how I like coach people versus like these are the cues, this is how you do it. I like to like kind of like have like a dialogue, like talking about not like obviously like in a workout, but like we were kind of talking about this the other day. As we were talking about like coaching cues, but like I tend to like err on the side of like, let's explain what this whole, like, this is what's going on in your movement. Let's like have a conversation about it so I can understand also how you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Which sounds like that's kind of how you are, is you like to take in a lot of the information and then you'll give them feedback or like change things based on that. Is that fair?
Right. Right. And like you get to know people a little bit more, as a person and as an athlete, mm-hmm. and like what they respond to, and also just like what their sense of humor is and all that, which is nice. And that's just how I like to approach things. I like to like actually get to know them, and like you get to kind of manipulate variables a little bit more in the training side of things too, because you know what they respond to and what they don't respond to, versus if you're in a big group and all that stuff, it's very hard to do. And if you're just like yelling cues here and there and all that, and
And it's tough because I'm sure there's like maybe certain teams that maybe like a little bit less with the teams that you work with, but it seems like in the college setting, if you're a strength and conditioning coach, you might get like a huge group of people. Like if, I don't know if, you know, it's probably in like smaller schools, like you probably have a coach work with like the entire football team, for example. So it'd be like, it'd be really challenging to coach, have that coaching style in an environment like that. Whereas if like, I'm like envisioning you working with like, you know, a smaller group of triathletes, that would probably, they probably would respond well to that. And like, it seems like it'd be more appropriate almost in that setting.
Yeah, definitely. With the teams I work with the smaller setting, a lot of them, I think, work better like that versus like, I can't imagine some of the athletes responding well to like a big group and being yelled at like, come on, let's go. You know, it's not everyone's choice. But I also like when there are big groups and big teams, like a lot of times, like I do wish I had that presence because it does make a difference. Like you'll see other coaches and all that and they're doing it. And I'm like, damn, that's pretty good. I wish I could do that. Like I wish I could pull it out of me. But it'll come off as fake.
Yeah. And when I was teaching, that was one of the critiques I would get when I was coming up was like, you need to be like more, they wouldn't say outgoing, but like more like forward with your like personality. Like you have to have like a bigger personality when you're teaching. And that was true to a certain degree, but like I was never like one of those teachers that was like way over the top about everything and like crazy animated and like all that stuff, because it was just like, it just never felt like genuine coming from me.
Exactly. And that's how it would be with me too. Like, it's just, it wouldn't be genuine. Like, that's just not who I am. You could see right through it.
So I feel like it's always better to, I mean, A, put yourself in the situation where like it lends well to your skill set, which it sounds like you are, is like between like, being working with like the teams that you are, the University of Arizona, and then, working as a remote coach for us. Like, that's obviously like one-on-one basis. So it's like lends itself really well to that. So that makes sense to me. Where are you at, like, in your personal fitness journey, like, right now?
Because
I feel like this isn't something we've touched on in a while.
So I've taken a pause from doing, like, CrossFit stuff for a bit just because I've been finding it very hard to do based on, like, where I'm at most of the day. I'm in a strength room where there's not much equipment for that stuff. There's a lot of squat racks and machines and things like that, but there's no like, there's no.
All you need is a dumbbell and some space and the willingness to work day.
And like, and that's the thing. Like, air bikes are all on this side, dumbbells are on the opposite side. It's a really big room too.
That's true for general fitness, I guess. It would be maybe their defense for that. But yeah, if you're trying to do competitive CrossFit, I've tried to do that before at like a non-CrossFit gym. Even at CrossFit gym, sometimes it's tough if it's not a competitive environment. So that makes sense.
It was just causing me like a ton of stress, like trying to fit everything every day and all that stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna take some time from here. It was a good, it feels like a good mental break so far. Just working on general strength and kind of taking like a little hybrid approach, hopefully going for a half marathon in the summer. We'll see how that goes. I'm not a runner, so we'll see. But it's been fun so far. I really like it. So
Are you signed up officially or no?
Not officially. I have one set. Like I have my eyes on one. Over in Rhode Island, so I could go visit family and all that stuff. So July.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, but you know, people have been listening for this for a while. They might know that I've been on triathlon before, but when I was like at the tail end of college, kind of like before I really found CrossFit, I'd done like a few like sprint triathlons like officially, but then like on my own just in training I did up to like a half Ironman, so that was long.
I remember you talking about
plenty long for me.
Yeah When you were doing that stuff, did you do a lot of strength training, or was it like solely like,
so I was still like doing some, yes, I would say, yeah, I probably honestly did more than I should have. I just enjoyed doing it. So I added in quite a bit, but definitely more than I needed to. Definitely more like I was doing like strength training, not just like accessories and like preventative stuff.
Right.
Which is probably what, probably now if I were to like, actually, if I really cared about it and like wanted to be competitive, that's what I would gear more of it towards.
Right.
Yeah. So you, obviously we're helping some athletes through the, like the open, since that's when we're recording this, so like between open and quarters. Mm-hmm. What was that process like for you as the coach?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Stressful or more so fun?
I would say because I didn't have as much of my hands full with work and that. So a lot of my teams right now and athletes are competing in like the Pac-12 and nationals and all that stuff. So I had a lot of my teams actually gone traveling.
So when your athletes are competing, the strength conditioning coach for those teams is basically on the back burner.
Exactly. Unless you travel with them, which the sports I work with, like they're not big money sports. So they don't have like a lot of resources to be traveling.
Like we're not paying for your ticket.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, I totally get it. So I work, and not a lot of teams were around and all that stuff. So it actually was perfect timing for the CrossFit Open. So I was really able to kind of dive deep and look at that and make sure everyone was set up.
I also look forward to one day where I don't have to, I'm saying this like I don't have a choice, but I totally do have a choice and I'm doing this to myself, but I'm competing while I'm coaching.
Right.
And that's way tougher because it's like, you're trying to like manage your own stress levels and like keep, you know, basically output cognitively as low as possible when you're competing.
Yeah.
But then like you're responsible to all these people and you like obviously want to do, maybe not everybody's this way, unfortunately, but like if you're a coach, like typically you want people to do well and like you care about them and like want them to perform well. So it's like definitely having responsibility to like be at your best, but then also to like have that be passed on is definitely more of a challenge. So it's nice that you're a little bit more siloed during that time of the year.
Yeah, and exactly like you were saying, like I wasn't competing in the Open this year, so that was a nice break for me to just focus on that and watching like the announcements and seeing the workouts. I was like, kind of glad I'm not competing right now.
It's
kind of miss it, kind of don't, you know?
Yeah, yep, totally. And I'm sure that'll be most people's experiences once they get out of the competitive side of the sport is like, this is like, I kind of miss a little bit, but like, at the same time, I'm okay not doing like, 27.3 today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When's like the last time you did like just like a Metcon?
It wasn't too long ago. I mean, not too long ago, meaning like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll do like some conditioning pieces, like Metcon-y type stuff once a week, but it's not.
That's always like a loose term because it's like right now in my season, I'm doing like, a fair amount of those throughout the week. But it's like in most of the year, it's like, I did like maybe one or two this week.
Right.
It's not like I'm doing them like every day, all day, like some people think.
Yeah, exactly.
Do. But yeah, it's like, do like intervals in the air bike count as a Metcon? It's like,
good, right? That's for the most part it is. Yeah. But when I say Metconning, like no skill
stuff. Yeah, you're not doing like toes to bar and bar piece and burpees until you puke. Yeah,
totally not doing that. I'm like, if I don't have to do anything like that, I won't.
So. Yeah. Yeah, we're just kind of recording a shorter show here today to, we're getting ready to go in a session one for camp, but you're leading. What are we doing in the session?
We are doing some Olympic lifting, which is always fun, and then we'll be doing the Metcon after, the CrossFit-y Metcon. That's the one with the L-sits.
Yeah, so it's – I'll see if I can get this right. It's 4 rounds, 1 minute on, 1 minute off.
Yes.
Of 15-second L-sit. We're going to do it on the boxes here and then probably put, like, med balls under people's feet.
Mm-hmm.
8 power cleans, 155, 105, I think.
Yeah.
And then max front squats the remaining time of that minute. So this is something where we have a few people in here who are going to be joining in the session since we're doing like a weightlifting total, like an Ollie total. Or Ollie total, depending who you are.
Yeah, Ollie. That's how I call it.
I know. You've always said that. And then I think I was talking to Riley about it and I was like, I'm always kind of annoyed when people say Ollie. She's like, well, it's Olympics. Like, it's not the Ollie Olympics. I was like, okay, that's a fair point. So we got a few people who are, at least two or three people who are just doing like weightlifting exclusively who are coming into this session. So we wanted to make like the Metcon something where it's still you know, obviously a CrossFit workout, but something that's accessible to the people who are doing weightlifting, where they're not going to be, you know, they should be able to do an L-sit and, you know, figure out touch and go reps, and obviously they can do front squats. So it should be something that they're very capable of handling.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be fun to see. I know the L-sits should be fun on the boxes. I haven't done those in a while, but they're always, the L-sits are always humbling.
Oh my
gosh. I
mean,
like the only time that like I see athletes like nail it, it's always like a gymnast or a diver. Right. And then like any other athlete is like 10 seconds. What? Like that's so hard.
Yeah. And it depends on what standard you use too, because you can do it where like your knees are bent and like you don't actually have to keep your feet that high, and it's like you can kind of squeak out, you could probably literally like double your time in like a format like that. So it was interesting that Boss has definitely alluded to the fact that they might have an L sit or an L pull up in quarters. We'll release this close enough where if people, you know, hear this, then they don't get an advantage because they just can't train it at that point. But I don't think it's any secret. Like he said that publicly. It's like, oh, it's an Easter egg, like meaning that people should basically like try to start to incorporate that. But it's I feel like it's just a move that it's like challenging no matter how much you've done it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Certain moves just like feel that way where it's like, man, these are hard. No matter how good I actually get at these, they're still challenging.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't feel like there's that many movements like that. Like I've done like maybe like a, for me, like a dumbbell box step over or something.
Oh man, those are freaking rough.
Or pistols maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like there takes me like an hour to get one for pistols, no matter how much I do.
Yeah.
But and then you got a lunch and learn after session one.
Yeah.
What's that going to be on?
That's going to be on how I use data. It's from the coach's perspective, how to use data for injury, prevention, mitigation, or getting back into sport. So I kind of wanted to mix the data side of things and the strength and conditioning side of things. Obviously, I'm not doing like a whole like, oh, how to prevent injury or how to rehab from injury, because I'm not a PT, so I'm going to try to stay away from that. That's not my lane. But kind of how, as a coach, how you can use everything to your advantage to keep an athlete healthy.
Awesome. Yeah, so stay tuned for that. We'll be recording it, or I'll be recording it and then posting that as well. So it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Chris, man, what's up?
Hey.
You got to sneak over here in the camera and say hi quick. I'm right about to end the podcast. You just come on over next to me. Kneel down. Say hi to everybody. Chris has just gotten into town from New Jersey, here for camp. All right, we're on to there. There he is. That's it. Well, great ending to the podcast, guys. Oh,
man. Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.